Greetings for Indie Book Publishing, Westbow Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book title is Chiseled Faith, our motivational and survival Bible to achieving your greatest health and fitness potential. And joining
this
me from somewhere
publishing.
In the southeast, I think it's Florida today.
It may and be the authors Georgia, who wrote them.
Is
it's
author
an opportunity
Carol
for prospective readers
to
hear directly from
Thanks,
the writers.
Jay.
To
Thank
hear
you for
what
having me.
Them to
well,
write
it's a pleasure to visit with you. You have great credentials, over 20 years of experience
now,
in the health and fitness industry. You're considered a trainer's trainer. This particular book is unique to you. Is it the first book you've written?
It is. I mean, I've written a lot of curriculum and I've written several articles and I have a lot of content, but yes, this is the first official book. Absolutely. I'm so excited.
Well, I love the title. First of all, it is I'll call it a dual purpose title. You have more in here than just physical fitness. You have some spiritual insight and some encouragement for people of faith. This really got started by looking back, at least on your career, in a church environment. You began to look around, and what did you discover?
Yeah, I grew up in the church. And in spirituality and your walk with God in that. But it seemed like every time we turned around, every function surrounded, it was all about food and eating and just having a good time, which, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but it just seemed like fitness and health and what was, really, really important. We really never focused on that in growing up. And so I really, starting off in my career, I really felt like health and fitness was super important, but I felt like there was a gap between the church and then also health and fitness, and why not marry the two? The book really to all the things that we may or may not know about what we need to do with our fitness and our nutrition, but also what does the Bible say about that? So it really gives encouragement, and it's really about the doing health and fitness, and it's backed by scientific evidence, what we need to do physically through fitness and nutrition to be healthier, but also what does the Bible say about your health and fitness? And so I love marrying those two concepts together. And I think it's really, really important with that concept. So that's kind of the reason of writing the book and how it kind of all got started.
The interesting thing about this is that you have a 20-year history. Some physical fitness folks, and as they get more mature in physical age, physical fitness becomes more complicated and difficult. Have you found that in the people that you have begun working with and have coached? Are older adults, let's say 50 and over, are they gravitating towards this because they're in bad condition, or are they trying to stay healthy and have the capacity to do so?
Everybody has their own reason why they want to start on this journey of health and fitness. You've got some individuals that, it's all about the looks. It's all about, I really want to be a size, and then they fill in the blank. And that's fine. That's totally fine. But we do have other individuals that, I just want to be healthy. And they come to the program, I just want to do something for my health. I'm on this medication, or I am not able to move like I used to. So they're looking for a program that can just make them healthier, which that's phenomenal as well. The program really addresses any age, really. But what's so funny is that working with people and over the years, I find it interesting between males and females and how they approach health and fitness. The men, when they come to me, it's because your doctor has told you that your blood pressure is XYZ and you need to start exercising to get that under control. And then guys, they said, well, I do it because I was told I need to do it, and they just do it. And then they have so much success because they're on a mission to get, for example, like their blood pressure down.
Right.
And then a benefit of that is start to lose weight and they start to feel better about themselves. Women, we focus a lot on that number, whether it's a dress size or a pant size or the number on the scale. And it's funny because we struggle with that a little bit more and with our mindset. So it's interesting looking at the men and women with the whole program. But to get back to, when people come to incorporate exercise exercise and better nutrition at a specific age, whether they're older in life, it's never too late to get started.
Right. I have a family member who is obsessed with working out, and it makes them feel better. However, I think it's almost borderline obsessive because, it's building the upper body, and that's about it. There's no strength behind it. Unfortunately, I've approached this individual and my family to help me with things, and I'm older and not in the best of condition, but I'm not gasping for air like this workout guy is. Now, in your book, you have not just focused on the workout side. You've also focused on the inner strength and also the healthy eating aspects of life.
Yes. Well, what I love, what is great about the book is that it is practical. It literally tells you exactly what you need to do. It is a blueprint. You get other books out there and you have a lot of information out there and it's great knowledge, but to a degree, practical application. I spell out for you what you need to do. So each week, there are 12 chapters in the book, and each chapter represents a different week. And each week, you have a weekly workout plan to follow exactly. I tell you exactly what you need to do. And then there is a weekly meal plan that goes along with each chapter, and I tell you exactly what you need to eat. And so a lot of people, they come to me, they go, just tell me what I need to do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they'll do it.
Absolutely.
And you don't have to figure it out for yourself. So what I love is you have the exercise, you have the nutrition, but then also each chapter focuses on a different topic that is really important to your overall health. For example, one chapter we focus on stress management. There is a stress assessment tool in that chapter that an individual can take to actually see how stressed out they are. And then it gives you some tips on how you can minimize the stress in your life. And then we go to the Bible. What does the Bible say about stress in your life? And how can God help you with that? So that's how it all comes around full circle. So it's not only physical, but it's also spiritual as well. Shifting that mindset, having faith that you can get this done and you can be healthier. You can get fit, no matter what stage you are in your life.
Well, those are encouraging words just on themselves, on their own. You sound like a coach in addition to being a coach. So a wellness coach. This 12-week program, one thing that I think is maybe something that you have touched on in your book, is there a benefit to group participation in this? Rather, do you think an individual is going to be able to commit and follow through on a one-on-one basis, or do they need a group?
Yeah, that's what's great about individual that likes to do things on your own, and that is fine because there are personalities out there that they don't really like a group setting.
That's
they want to just do it on their own, and they have that intrinsic motivation, and they have no issues with, getting it done on their own, and that's perfect. The book is designed for that individual to be able to do it on their own. What is also great about this book is that it is also designed to be able to do in a small group. So churches are using this book as a tool for a small group. And typically you have small groups at churches and they'll meet for an extended period of time or a specific time frame. And so this one would be for a 12-week. At an individual at a church, if they feel led, they can facilitate this program in their church. And also the book, if you go online to the chiseledfaith.com website, there are videos that go along with the book. And so it demonstrates the exercises. So not only do you have the book and you have the exercises listed in the book, you can go to the website and you can actually see how to perform those exercises. And so, yes, definitely a group can do this together. And what's great about doing it in a group setting is that they, can work off of one another. They can come really successful at the nutrition part of it, but the exercise portion of it, I kind of fell off the wagon. What kind of tips did you guys, what did you find that helped you? And they can bounce off of each other and give each other ideas of how to push each other and make each other successful. So it's dual. You can do one, by yourself, or you can do it in a small group.
Well, this is, again, a 12-week program from what you've outlined in the book. You've got some journaling chapters or pages in the book where they can not only reflect on what they've learned at that point, but also what they need to work on. Would you consider this a beginner's guide tied to physical fitness, or is it something that either advanced or beginners can participate in and benefit from?
You know, that's a really good question, because the book is designed for somebody who's just getting started on their health and fitness path. So there's a great foundation that this book lays out for that particular person. But it never hurts, no matter how advanced you are in your exercise program, you can always come back to the fundamentals and just kind of relearn and reshape and get your mind right. Sometimes we may think we're advanced and we don't need anything. So it's the same concept. And I think we can all use getting back to the fundamentals.
Well, that's certainly good advice. Now, your book is 188 pages approximately. And although it is faith-based, at least from a perspective, someone who is not faith-based but just needs to get into physical fitness can also benefit from reading your book, because it's not preachy. Would that be a good way to describe it?
Yeah, totally. Because we're real people and we have real lives. And the book is also designed for someone who's not necessarily a believer. A non-believer can get this book out there, and a lot of quotes that, you know, we read online and that, and they come from the scripture. And, you know, no matter if you're a believer or a non-believer, God speaks to everybody. And, you know, there's a message for everybody. It is positive. It is motivating. It is inspirational. So God's word is for everybody. It doesn't matter. And if we can reach out to somebody and then they want to further their knowledge, and then if that brings them to Christ, then amen. Then, you know, that's even better.
Absolutely. A great, great word of encouragement there. And I'm assuming, because of 20 years of experience and motivated individual, this may not be the end of your writing career. Is there anything else in the works?
Yeah, so this is just the beginning. You know, we're looking forward to doing Chisel Faith for teens. We're looking at doing Chisel Faith for seniors. We're even looking at ramping up the exercise program within the Chisel Faith book. We're going to take it up to the next level. So if people, and that's the whole purpose, right? So we got to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And then eventually we're going to progress on to the next level. So we're just going to keep going and going and going and moving forward.
Excellent. Carol Ann, where can my listeners get a copy of Chiseled Faith?
They can go to Chiseled Faith Life right from there, chiseledfaithlife.com.
Excellent. And I'm assuming also that Amazon and the other major retailers can provide them a copy of this book as well. They can also do a search under your name, Carol Ann, C-A-R-O-L-A-N-N, all one word, Carol Ann, and also locate any future publications that may arise out of this great first venture. Thank you again for sharing your story. We hope to hear from you in the near future.
Thank you, Jay. And I am so thankful that you invited me on. Wish the best of luck for everybody out there.
Best of luck in the future. Again, the book title is Chiseled Faith, Your Motivational and Survival Bible to Achieving Your Greatest Health and Fitness Potential. Author Carol Ann, who's joined me from, I think, Atlanta today. I'm not sure. But thank you for joining me today, Carol Ann.
Thank you.
For Indie Book Publishing, West Bow Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Have you heard? The pages of American Patchwork and Quilting magazine come to life on our new weekly online radio show, American Patchwork and Quilting. Join Pat Sloan, our blogging and quilt designer host, as she talks about the latest trends, ideas, and inspirations. Her guests include quilt pattern designers, authors, quilt shop owners, and our editors. All quilters, just like you, call in with your questions. Get quilting tips from industry experts. Learn about free patterns. Hear behind-the-scenes stories from our magazines, American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilt Sampler, and Quilts and More. Get the scoop on free stuff. And find out more about the best independent quilt shops in North America. To listen to a live show, tune in Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern. Just log on to allpeoplequilt.com/radio. To hear past shows, go to iTunes and search for American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We hope you'll join us, because we know that quilting changes everything.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host.
Greetings for Indie Book Publishing, Westbow Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book's title is God's Grand Design for Health. And joining me from near Denver, Colorado, in the United States of America, is Dr. James Darnell. Welcome, sir, to the program.
Thanks for having me on.
This is a book that is not a difficult read, 130 pages or so. And the title obviously is pointing towards some other intervention in our health besides just eating well. How did this book get written, sir?
Well, I've had a passion for teaching this stuff for pretty much my entire career. And as my career evolved, I realized that what I was doing in a clinical setting and educating patients and talking about this stuff is not enough. It really is clear when you look at the data that we're not doing well enough, and our health is suffering because of it. We're not doing well enough in teaching how to prevent disease, and that's really how this book came about. Is that after 20 years of practice, I realized that I needed to do more, and the book is very much about prevention of disease rather than curing illness, and goes pretty in-depth, but from a layman's point of view, into lifestyle and how lifestyle influences the health of the cells, and goes pretty in-depth as well into explaining how toxins that we're exposed to, as well as foods, different foods that we eat, affect the body and affect the cell, the health of the cells. So it's a teaching tool more than anything else.
And your area of practice or expertise is in chiropractic. That is an area that, rather than traditional medicine that always goes, you know, patching up the sickness, you try to do the preventative side anyway as far as your practice, correct?
That is very correct. Chiropractic is as much about healthy lifestyle as it is anything else.
And you've mentioned in the title God's Grand Design for Health. In fact, Jack Canfield, whom I have visited with before, who is also the co-author of Chicken Soup for the Soul and others, has made very fine comments about your book, saying this book will teach you a new concept about health and wellness and the primary factors that erode our health. And he called it a powerful book. Why is the God element important in how our health is affected?
Well, after you deal with the body for long enough, you really come to understand that the body we've been given and its amazing intelligence is not by chance. It is definitely by intelligent design. And of course, me being a Christian, I definitely say that, I'm not shy about saying that it's God that designed our bodies, and that includes the ability to maintain itself and to heal itself after illness occurs.
Your book has a chapter about the observations about the United States and other countries. What do you notice about the health of people of the United States, and are they healthier than other countries, or do you find them actually heading on a path to maybe more sickness?
Well, I definitely find that the health of the American population is on the wrong path. We are definitely declining. And if you read the book, you'll realize that I have cited a pretty extensive list of medical references in the course of the book. And I like to say that those medical references are written by some of the smartest minds, medical minds, that we have worldwide. And the thing that you're going to realize is that as we really study the statistics, the health of our nation, and I emphasize the top 10 leading causes of death in the United States very heavily for a reason, because in spite of years and years of research on heart disease and cancer, we figured out how to cure, especially cancer, many forms of cancer, but it's creating other problems as well for our healthcare system because we're living longer with the diseases themselves, which adds to the overall cost of caring for them.
It's incredible. My wife and I have traveled to Europe on several occasions, and we, in doing a little bit of reading, have found out that many of the additives, many of the food types that are in the United States are not allowed in European countries. They are banned, and yet we have embraced them, the chemical additives. My wife, who has some digestive issues in United States, will go to Europe, say France or somewhere else, and be able to consume the same type of food, at least by let's say, bread products, and it not affect her over there. It's very unusual that for some reason our health system and our food system, our food chain, has disintegrated into poisoning our bodies. Are you finding that as being something that's pretty well received?
Well, I think it's well received once people understand and know the power of the different additives and preservatives and things that are toxins that we're exposed to. But that's the thing that, as I've talked to patients and people, I've found that people really don't have a concept of literally how much and how many toxins we're exposed to. There's a reference in the book that cites that basically says we are, on the average, exposed to over 3,000 different toxic chemicals every day and every year, and many of those chemicals can actually be analyzed and filtered down and are found in umbilical cords as they've analyzed them. So even infants in utero are being exposed to these toxins.
Wow.
So it shouldn't be any surprise that we have babies that are born with diseases right out of the womb, for example, insulin resistance and diabetes. So
it's an amazing fact of life that some medical professionals, and I have I will call them the traditional medical professionals, have a very I don't know how you would refer to it. It's, I would say, a damaging view of how to take care of people. I have one medical professional that I have visited. He is obese, overweight, in very bad physical condition. And he did some blood testing on me and said my cholesterol was high. I needed to be on statins. I have interviewed over 1,600 authors in the course of what I do. And one of the doctors that I had interviewed had come out against statins, saying that those on statins may die of heart disease, but it's never traced back to statins. So I told the doctors, look, I will control my cholesterol with diet. And his response was, you'll never get your cholesterol numbers down. You're going to have to be on statins the rest of your life. Well, of course, I did not follow his directions. The next blood testing that was done, I had corrected my diet, and my cholesterol numbers had dropped to within the normal range. Is that something that you have run into a lot on your side of the equation?
Absolutely. The paradox of being a chiropractic physician is that we are not licensed to prescribe pharmaceuticals, but we have to have an understanding of pharmaceuticals, because every patient anymore that comes into my office or any chiropractic physician's office is on medication. So we have mm-hmm. to be able to recognize when a person is having side effects, for example, from a drug. And just now that we're on the topic of statins, yes, one of the most common prescribed drugs that there is on the planet, and one of the common side effects is joint pain. Well, that's right what we deal with.
Mm.
So we have to be, we can't recommend to take people off of the medication, but oftentimes we have to work with the medical physicians who prescribe those pharmaceuticals to oftentimes either change the drug, reduce the dosage, or adjust things accordingly in the benefit of the patient.
Certainly a needed bit of advice for anybody that is experiencing health issues. One of the major chapters, or main chapters, at least from my perspective, because I'm acquainted, it seems that once you hit a certain age, I will say over 50 to be kind, the diabetes flag pops up quite frequently. I myself and many of my friends in my same age category have all of a sudden been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. What is your recommendation there from your perspective, or what is your observation from your perspective on how to get that under control without the use of meds, or is there a way to do so?
Well, the number one recommendation, not only just in type 2 diabetes, but really any type of illness, healing of the illness or maintaining a healthy body, is we have to reduce the amount of refined and processed foods that we are consuming. And the reason is that it's all sugar.
Yes, it's true.
We are consuming way too much sugar, and that sugar is so stressful to the body that it creates an inflammatory condition that destroys the cells and literally destroys the cells' ability to digest and process that sugar. Hence, it causes the type 2 or type 1 diabetes.
Would it be proper to assume by looking at your book that there's hope for folks who may have a chronic illness if they just change their diet?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I've had patients in their 70s and 80s that come in the office, and they can't even climb a flight of stairs because their health is so poor, whether it's joint pain or other diseases or conditions. And after adjusting their diet and getting them on a wellness program of spinal adjustments and exercise and things that we all know that we should do, but we often don't do them, and after they complete that program, they're able to climb the stairs and go out and play with the kids and actually have a healthier lifestyle as a result of it. And the side benefit oftentimes that we see is that many times they're able to reduce or discontinue their medication.
Beautiful.
Well, that's a win.
Absolutely.
Not only for them, but that's a win for society, because the cost of many of these medications is just unbelievably high.
Yeah, in your notes you have mentioned a patient by the name of Joe. Is that a fictitious or a kind of an assembled descriptive of some of the patients you have visited with?
Yeah, I obviously had to change the names, but the actual cases that I mentioned are actual cases within my career and the span of a 20-plus year career in chiropractic. So, yes, I have experienced this stuff firsthand and have a very tremendous passion for teaching about it, and so much so that I think I drive my wife crazy.
Well, she probably has your diet under control, hopefully. What is your hope for your book? What do you want to accomplish with it?
Well, I just really want people to be able to read it, and hopefully in the course of writing it and editing and everything else, I've written a book that's understandable, that the lay person can pick that book up, read it from cover to cover, and even if they don't understand all of the terminology and don't understand the complexity of it, they get the general point that my health is something that's under my control, and it starts with my lifestyle. It doesn't start with the pills we're taking. It starts with my lifestyle, the diet that you're eating, the exercise that you're getting, how much rest you're getting, the stress you're under, all of those things that are under our control. And once you understand that there's a problem, you can make adjustments accordingly to improve those things, and it will make a tremendous impact in improving your health.
Well said. The title of the book, again, is God's Grand Design for Your Health. My author, James Darnell, D.C. Dr. Darnell, where can my listeners get a copy of your book?
It's available through my website, www.jamesdarnelldc.com. It's on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, many other Christian websites. I don't have those in front of me, but you can actually Google the title of the book, and my website will come up, Amazon. Not many people that haven't shopped at Amazon, so you can get it through just about any of the major online retailers.
Excellent. And Darnell is spelled D-A-R-N-E-L-L. James Darnell, D.C. Well, thank you, sir, for joining me today. They can order it from their local bookseller also by the title of the book, God's Grand Design for Health, and under your name. So thank you for joining me today. Are you planning a follow-up book by any chance?
Yes, that is in the works.
Well, I kind of thought it might be. Thank you for sharing your story and sharing this very important information for my listeners, and I would recommend that they get a copy of it and get better health underway by changing their lifestyle. Thank you again for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. For Indie Book Publishing, Westbow Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Girlfriend It is on TogiNet. Thursdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, with your hosts Patty Wyatt and Lisa Jernigan. This show is your chance to share, learn, laugh, and connect with other women. The Girlfriended Principle was born out of loss.
Lisa had recently had her mother pass away from cancer, and my mom was murdered. A man just walking into a room and started a 23-second shooting spree.
I think one of the things we both realized going through those tragedies is that you can be extremely okay and be extremely sad.
Check out Girlfriended.com and then be a part of Girlfriended, the radio show, Thursdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central.
You know, your boyfriend or your husband or whatever, they don't totally understand that emotional side to a woman like another woman does. And I think that's so important, just to have somebody that you go, she gets me.
Check out the website, girlfriended.com. Don't miss Girlfriended with Patty Wyatt and Lisa Jernigan, Thursdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central on toginet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host.
Greetings for Indie Book Publishing, Westbow Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book title is A Silent Cry, an amazing true story about life after death. And joining me from the Northeast is author Mike Adams. Thank you for joining me today, Mike.
Oh, good morning, Jay. It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yes, this is a tough book in some ways. If I were to internalize this and wish I would never have to write it, I would be on that side of the story. Tell me a little about The Silent Cry, or A Silent Cry, and the background and why it was written.
Sure. Well, I say that I'm a man who's a member of two clubs that no one ever wants to belong to. That is a father who has buried a child, and also a husband who has buried a wife. This book came about based on a series of miracles, extraordinary events that I experienced and lived through. After the passing of my wife, it occurred within about a 24-month period after she passed away.
Mm. And she died under, I won't say exactly mysterious circumstances, but very troubling circumstances. There was an infection that just wouldn't go away. How did that come about? Do you in reflection think of what caused it and why it was such a heart-wrenching and family-changing event?
Well, right. She had an abdominal infection, and the trauma team saved her life initially in a surgery. And that was in fact a mystery. They don't know what the what the root cause of that is. I think her system was worn down, in any event, it was obviously sudden. She died at age 49, it's just a sudden occurrence. One day she's here, and then she's gone. But in hindsight now, and relative to the book, I think what happened is, she left too soon, and these series of miracles that are recounted in the book are really her coming back to say goodbye, as God permitted.
And you are a person of faith. Your family is a family of faith. You have a strong anchor in your hope for the future, and also your relationship with the Lord. Those are very key ingredients in the telling of this story, which for most people who don't have that anchor, it would be a story of tragedy and probably despair.
Yes, sir. Faith and family. And, my situation is just reminds me, the saying, I don't know how people get through life without faith. I mean, this life can be very difficult for many people, and on a lot of different levels. People, every day, bad things happen to people on this earth. And it's tough enough when you have strong faith and belief in God, and I just can't imagine how people survive it sometimes without that core faith and belief and trust and hope.
Absolutely. And I'm sure one of the first questions that would have come to my mind is, where do I go from here? The book A Silent Cry came out of this family event. Why did you feel you needed to write it, and what inspired you to put it to paper, the gut-wrenching occurrences that impacted your family?
No, that's a really good question. I didn't start out writing a book. I mean, what happened was there were a series of extraordinary events. Extraordinary to the point that I wrote them down in a journal, and that's all it was. It was, something amazing happened, and I wrote it down. I've always been a note taker and a writer. I wrote it down, and then over a period of time, as I said earlier, the duration here was about 24 months after the passing of my wife. The journal started to fill up, and there was I noticed that there was a pattern here. And then it just, on reflection, I think, God put it in my heart that, these extraordinary events, these miracles, it deserved to be told, deserved to be shared. I consider myself to just be a regular guy. There's nothing, there is nothing special or extraordinary about me. I'm a single father now, raising three children. Many people are in that position. But these events are what's extraordinary, and that's what the book's about. I hope people will read it and see a little more closely what I'm talking about, some of the miracles that happen. Truly amazing. So I thought it was compelling to share them.
Mike, would you consider maybe sharing one of them, or one of the things that really got your attention that you thought, this is not typical?
Yes, certainly. An easy one to relay in an interview would probably, there's a chapter called A Call from Heaven. And what happened, I was sitting at home about 5 o'clock in an evening. I had about 30 minutes before I would go pick my son up from football practice. And so I just sat in the family room and put the local news on. and was just sort of killing time because he would call when the practice was over. And our landline to is connected to the television. So when there's an incoming call on the landline, the number flashes up on the television screen and it gives you the caller ID and it gives you the number itself.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just sitting there watching the local news, not, you know, semi paying attention. Incoming call comes in and flashing on the screen was Teresa Adams, my wife's name, and our home telephone number, 412-655-1984. Well, That was an incoming call on our landline.
Extraordinary.
And I sat straight up and I know what I saw, and I just stared at the television and it rang and it rang and it rang and then it stopped. And then of course the number and her name disappeared from the screen. And I just sort of, it was a surreal moment. I just sort of shook my head like, I know what I saw, but, you know, I'm a skeptical person. I thought, well, wait a minute. There's, you know, so right away your mind starts thinking, well, there's got to be some explanation for that. And then I thought, you know what? We have caller ID. I bet you the call is not on caller ID. So I jumped up. I went in the kitchen. I pulled the phone up in there and scrolled. And sure enough, there it was on our caller ID, Teresa Adams, 412-655-1984. And so that chapter's titled A Call from Heaven.
Incredible. This and other stories are certainly unusual over the last few months or several months since the passing of your wife. What is the purpose of writing the book? Why did you want to share this story? What is the purpose behind it?
Well, as I say, you have to believe in a miracle in order to receive a miracle. I think miracles happen every day. I think many people experience them, but sometimes perhaps don't recognize them as such. And so the real purpose, Jay, in sharing this story is that, you know, these miracles recounted in my book really happened. I mean, it's a true story. I lived them. And so really, it's a story about faith, it's a story about heaven, and it's a story about miracles. And that's really the purpose in writing the book, is to say to people, look, this is reality. You know, the heavenly realm coexists with us here on earth. It's closer than we think a lot of times.
It is a mystery, and I will say this, right, listeners, the writing is very conversational, easy to read. It's a straightforward account of things that happen. You have also highlighted perhaps something else that happened, a surprise Christmas ornament. What is that referring to?
Yes. Well, we have two little traditions in our family. Every year on vacation, the kids would pick out a Christmas ornament and a inexpensive Christmas ornament at a Christmas shop. And over the years, we collected a lot of Christmas ornaments. And then the other tradition is to put the Christmas tree up the weekend after Thanksgiving. So the year of my wife's passing, which would have been the first Christmas that she wasn't here, we were putting up the Christmas tree, and you know, there are scores of ornaments, and there was an ornament, and it was an angel ornament, and it said number one mom, and I believe it was my daughter Ashley who pulled it out, and somebody said, where did this come from? And nobody recognized the ornament.
Hmm.
And then I started racking my brain. I thought, well, did I buy that? You know, would we have bought that previously? But then, no, that didn't make any sense because it was an angel ornament. And there's no way that, you know, my wife or me would have bought an angel ornament while she was still alive.
Hmm.
And then nobody remembered that summer, the first summer she wasn't here, buying the ornament. So then I asked the daughter, Ashley, who found it, I said, you know, call your godmother, who was my wife's best friend, and ask her if she bought that. And she did, and she didn't buy it. So the Christmas ornament, origin unknown, although, you know, in our family, we viewed it as in faith as a gift from heaven, and it miraculously appearing with all of our other ornaments, an angel ornament that said number one mom.
The story is heartwarming and certainly inspirational. What advice would you give someone who has gone through a recent tragedy and feels like giving up? Has that ever passed or come across in your family that you just wanted to give up?
Don't give up. You just have to go to God and pray and ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Ask Jesus to help you. And I believe that any of us who do that, will be helped and will be saved. Never give up. It's easy. This life, throws a lot of, bad things at people. And, you want to give up sometimes and maybe that's the easy way to go. But, again, we're back to your faith is a lifeline. And however people, it's very personal for people. Whatever way that they recognize and acknowledge the Supreme Being, trying to stay close through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, whatever way that people can hang on to that faith lifeline, that's the answer. That's the only answer, Jay, that I would humbly advice that I would humbly give to people.
Well, it's beautifully put. And whether you're a person of faith or not, this book will inspire you. The title, again, is A Silent Cry, an amazing true story about life after death. Author Mike Adams. Mike, my listeners need to get a copy of this. How do they do so?
Oh, well, thank you, Jay. The book is available on through the publisher, that's Westbow Press, and it's also available on Amazon. It's also available through Barnes & Noble. So those three primary outlets, if you Google any of those three, I Silent Cry, Mike Adams, it's easily findable. Thank you.
Fabulous. You also can request it from your local bookseller. They should be able to obtain a copy for you as well if you choose to go that route. Thank you again, Mike, for sharing this very important work that you have completed. And again, it's a good read just from the conversational standpoint and inspirational from the content. Thank you again for joining me today and sharing your story.
Well, I appreciate the kind words about the book, Jay, and thank you very much for your insight and understanding of the book through the interview. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mike. For Indie Book Publishing, Westbow Press, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing. Join us again next week at noon Eastern.